Agnes Misha. Jai. Jai O Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi jana balava girivara dhari. Gopi jana balava girivara dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Ballava Girivara Dhari Jai Gopi Jana Ballava Girivara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Prabhupada 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 Jai Prabhupada 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 Jai Prabhupada Om
Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajaka Charya Stotarasatashishima Bhakti Vrata Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Dao Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajaka Charya Astotarasatashishima Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramitananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvipa Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Nam Sankirtan Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 6, Text 30 and 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet. The killing of the demon Putana. We'll do 31 together. I'll just do the first one. Shishuka Uvacha Iti Pranaya Badhabir Gopibi Kritarakshanam Payayitva Stanam Mata Sanyavishayaratmajam. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. All the gopis, headed by Mother Yashoda, bound by material affection, after they chanted mantras to protect the child, Mother Yashoda gave the child the nipple of her breast to suck and then got him to lie down on his bed. Prabhupada says, when a baby drinks milk from the breast of his mother, this is a good sign of health. So the elderly gopis were not satisfied with chanting the mantras to give protection to Krishna. They also tested whether their child's health was in order. When the child sucked the breast, this confirmed that he was healthy. And when the gopis were fully satisfied, they had the child lie down in his bed. Text 31. Tavananda dayo gopa. Maturaya vrajam gataha. Vilokya putana dehang. Bhavurati vishmitaha. Tavananda dayo gopa. Maturaya vrajam gataha. Vilokya putana dehang. Babur ativishmitaha Tavananda dayo gopa Maturaya vrajam gataha Vilokya putana deham Babur ativishmitaha.
Vilokya putana deham.
Bhavurati vishmitaha.
Vrindavaya Gopa Maturaya Bhajam Gataha Ladies, Tavananda Dayogopa Maturaya Bhajam Gataha Vilokya Putana Deham Bahuvurati Vishmita Tavananda Dayogopa Maturaya Bhajam Gataha Vilokya Putana Deham Bahuvurati Vishmita Tavananda Dayogopa Maturaya Bhajam Gataha Vilokya Putana Deham Bhavurati Vishmitaha Tavat In the meantime Nanda Adaya Headed by Nanda Maharaj Gopaha All the cowherd men Maturaya From Matura Bhajam To Vrindavan, Gataha, came back. Vilokya, when they saw Putana Deham, the gigantic body of Putana lying dead. Bhuvuhu became Pati, very much. Vishmitaha, struck with wonder. Meanwhile, all the cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaj returned from Mathura. When they saw on the way the gigantic body of Putana lying dead, they were struck with wonder. Nanda Maharaj's wonder may be understood in various ways. First of all, the cowherd men never seen such a gigantic body in Vrindavan, and therefore they were struck with wonder. Imagine coming back from Gainesville or something, and you get out here by Lachman and you see this giant, huge she-demon is... Somebody you've never even seen anything that big before, and you see it and you go, what? what? And the thing's head's here and its feet are in high springs. That's how huge this thing is. Ginormous, as my daughter would say. Is that better? Sorry. Ginormous witch. Anyway, then they began to consider where such a body had come from. Whether it had dropped from the sky, or whether by some mistake or by the power of some mystic yogi, they had come to some place other than Vrindavan. They thought, where are we? We've never seen this before. This can't be home. They couldn't actually guess what had happened, and therefore they were struck with wonder. Namasheshtamunamapi sachiputra matrasarupam rupam tasya grijam rupurim maturim gostavatim Radha kundam giribaram maho radhika maravasyam prapto jasya pratitikripaya sri gurum tanganatosmi Vanchikapa tribhishya kripa sindubhivacha potitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Putana. So we've been talking about this, about the killing of children after Seisha's class. I still can't get that out of my mind, although it's nothing new. We've been killing children. People kill everybody. This is Martyaloka, right? The place of death. And people are always killing each other all the time. This is nothing new. But it sounds so, just so blatant, you know, when somebody comes out with a, you know, out of some huge university and says, here's a problem we have. We have unwanted children. So here's the answer. We'll just kill him. I was listening to Radhanath Swami last night. My wife punched him up on the video so I could listen to him. He was giving a class on Putana, and he said, this Rakshashi, she was killing and eating children. Killing and eating them. And still, she got the mercy of Krishna. to become his nurse, his mother. So it gives us hope. It's like Jagai Mata. When you see Jagai Mata, you think if Nityananda and Chaitanya saved them, then maybe I can be saved too. So I found this thing in Bhaktisiddhanta's book. He has two pages, of Putana. And I liked what he said here. Putana, the slayer of all infants. The baby, when he or she comes out of the womb, falls at once into the hands of pseudo-teachers of religion. These teachers are successful in forestalling attempts of the good preceptor, whose help is never sought by the atheists of this world at the baptisms of their babies. This is ensured by the arrangements of all established churches of the world. They have been successful only in supplying watchful putanas. Now, I know about these watchful putanas because I was raised Catholic. And I got lucky and my mother didn't want to put us into Catholic school all the time. My grandmother wanted us to go in there or we'd go to hell. And my father was against it. So we still had to go on Wednesday after school. The worst thing you can do is go to, well, I don't know, maybe there's other worse things. But as far as we were concerned, the worst thing to do is after school, you go to this other school, which is dark and old, and you got these nuns who are watchful putanas. And I mean, not only was it was creepy and they hit you with these yardsticks, you know, that was creepy. But the creepiest part of it was, to us, is that there was no nectar there. You know, there's dead Jesus on the cross with the thorn of crowns, and there's just nothing about that I want to, you know, see. And when they talked to us, it was all disciplinary. That was the whole thing. We were there for an hour and 45 minutes, you know, just dying in there, wishing we could just get out of there. And that's all they did, was chastise us. And if you said anything, they'd hit you, and then they'd make you stand somewhere. It was, you know, I mean, in the other schools, you could do almost anything. Nobody did anything about it. But in this school, and if they would have had something to offer that would have been a little positive, or some light, some glimpse of light, it wouldn't have been so hellish. But anyway, I like the way Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada puts it here. They have been successful only in supplying watchful putanas for the effecting of spiritual destruction of persons from the moment of their birth. You know, so you're in the womb, you're already in hell. We've read about it in the Bible time. You're in there packed up, it's airtight, there's things biting you. Meanwhile, your mother's sucking down chili dogs and pepperoni pizzas. And then back in the 50s, my mother smoked 2 packs a day and drank martinis for dinner every night while I was in the womb. So you're in the womb and you're like, hey, you know, you're getting kicked and tortured to the point when you get a little consciousness after 7 months, you go, okay, I give up. Please, God, I'll serve you. Let me out of here. So then you go, you come out, and you know, the whole traumatic birth, you come popping out and you're like, eh! You're just crying, sitting there, you know? And who do you meet? Watchful putanas. Wow! Oh, God, way back in the womb, wasn't this bad in there? You know, you got these demoniac so-called teachers. He goes on to say, he says, I love this, he says, from the moment of their birth, with the cooperation of their worldly parents. The parents go ahead and say, yeah, here, this will be good for you. The parents are sitting there smoking their Pall Malls and drinking their vodka, and they're sending the kids to go get hit by these putanas at the Catholic. And I had friends that went to Catholic school all week. They were in hell. I mean, they really suffered. But anyway, he says, by the cooperation of their parents. And then he says, no human contrivance can prevent these putanas from obtaining possession of the pulpits. This is due to the general prevalence of atheistic disposition in the people of this world. The church that has the best chance of survival in this damned world is that of atheism under the convenient guise of theism. So the parents are sending into these putanas going, here, go get some religious instruction. You need it. And it's true. We all need it. We all need it. But you got to know where you're going. You only can get if you go to the right place. And if you go to Putana, what do you get? You get eaten. She'll eat you. Right? You don't want to get ate. Anyway, the churches have always proved the staunchest upholders of the grossest form of worldliness, from which even the worst of non-ecclesiastic criminals are found to recoil. Some pretty heavy statement there. So, I mean, there's a whole thing on Christianity too. We don't have time for that, but the Putana, you know, I thought, all right, so here's, and I just want to add this, because we, not only do we protect and we give shelter to, you know, cows. We were famous for that. You know, like in India, people always complain. My father used to say, if they got rid of those cows, you know, they're in the street, they're everywhere, why don't they eat them? They're starving, you know. Total ignorance, you know. I mean, you kill the cows, you can't even get the milk. Prophet said, a cow lives 20 years, you know. Anyway, Prophet says here, just to clarify, if anybody had any, child worship is more important than deity worship. That's a pretty heavy statement. Child worship is more important than deity worship. And he goes on to say, this is from a letter, 72, because apparently, I've seen this before, devotee has a kid, and he's like, no, I'm important, I'm doing a puja here. Somebody else changed those diapers, I'm not doing that. That's some mundane thing, right? Well, Prabhupada says, if you cannot spend time with your child, then stop your duties of pujari. These children are given to us by Krishna. They are Vaishnavas, and we must be very careful to protect them. Otherwise, they may get eaten by some putanas. Prabhupada says, these children are not ordinary children. They are Vaikuntha children, and we are very fortunate. We can give them a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. This is a very great responsibility. Do not neglect it or be confused. So lucky we had Prabhupada. Who would have ever thought that? Anyway, so Prabhupada gave us this chance to get purified, get rectified, and get out of the spirit, get out of the material world, and go back home, back to the spiritual world. And the way to do that is through this process of devotional service. And how do you do that? Well, you have to be enthusiastic. You have to be utsahan, nischayat darayat. Rupa Goswami says, enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. I'm still trying to figure out what that one is, but patience is important. But, you know, if you get enthusiasm, sometimes, like, I have, like, this sugar hangover today because last night I ate like a pig. You know, you wake up and your eyes got sweet rice in them, and, fried things are bad, but then they were throwing the stuff off the altar and sweet balls, and, I mean, you know, then we drank Chanamrita, so I have this headache, and I was like, I didn't even, I took a shower. You take a shower when you're hungover, and it's like, you're still in this cloud, and my head hurts. So I came to the temple. I was like, I'm not touching that gong today. But I thought, what the heck, try to be utsaha, try to be enthusiastic. So I played the gong, and I actually felt better. And I just forced myself to do it, and I do that a lot in Sankirtan. You know, you go out in Sankirtan sometimes, and you just don't feel like going up and talking to whoever you're going to meet. And I just go, Hare Krishna, Nitya Gaur, and I force myself to do it, and I do it, and most of the time it comes out good. So that's what we do. Prabhupada says here that, and this is funny because he says, Krishna consciousness is not difficult. I beg to differ. But Prabhupada in the same sentence says, it is very difficult. What he says here is, this is a quote from a class where he's talking about, Arjuna says, who are you, sir? This is 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita. I am Kala Rupa. And now I have come to kill you. So therefore, our business should be, this life should be utilized only for complete Krishna consciousness. It is not difficult. Kirtaniya Sadahari, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult is very easy. And then in the same breath, he says, but it is difficult, very difficult. To chant Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours, those who are not accustomed will simply become mad. I don't know about you, but a couple hours of chanting japa is pretty... I mean, to me, I've been working on this for 40 years, and japa is difficult just because you have to control your mind and hear the mantra. I put on that morning meditations, and I see Prabhupada chanting japa. I chant with Prabhupada, and it's the only way I can do it. Otherwise, I think of millions and millions of things. So Prabhupada says, you'll go mad if you just chant 24 hours a day. Don't imitate Haridas Thakur. So for neophytes, the recommendation is that we must have many engagements. And this devotional service will purify us. Even to the point of, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even if you can't follow regulations. Anybody have any idea what that's like? Trying to follow regulations and then slipping from it or not following it all the way, not being a sincere disciple and going, that again? The same thing again? Well, you have to follow regulations, but Bhagavad Gita says, even if you can't follow regulations, he says that just work for me and you will get the same perfection. Now, you look around here in our community, you can see there's so many engagements. Some people, they do what we saw yesterday in the altar. They decorated it, they dressed the deities. Some devotees go on the altar every day, dress the deities. There's people managing this place trying to figure out how to pay the bills and keep everything nice, and somebody cuts the lawn, somebody publishes a magazine and edits and distributes it, and then there's somebody that's setting up book tables and prashadam, and there's somebody who's there's just unlimited varieties of Krishna's service, and everybody gets into it with enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. And if you just participate in it, then it keeps us away from our natural tendency to be, well, we have enemies, we have demons, kama, krodha, these things, envy, lust, greed, anger, these things are there. These are our putanas. We personally have them. And we can't conquer them. Only Krishna can conquer those demons. But if we keep the order of Sri Guru on our head, then the demons will be subdued. And when the demons are subdued, then we can do our service nicely. Now, I've done service in many different conditions. And I can testify that you can do service in almost any condition. But we want to do it nice. We want to please Prabhupada, and we want to get out of here. I don't really want to get in that womb again and go through this whole thing again. And then when you get out of the womb, there's millions of things dragging you here and there. And we're just little jivas. We don't have that kind of... We can't fight it. But if we surrender and submit to Sri Guru's order, then all of a sudden, you know, Maya lets us go, and Krishna says, come on. And then we can be engaged in whatever service it is. Some devotees are lawyers or pharmacists or doctors, and they're doing all kinds of work all day, and then they donate some of their hard-earned money for this, or for book distribution, or for prasadam distribution, or whatever it is. Some devotees spend their whole life teaching our children. So it's just, whatever you can, find something you can do, and do it for Krishna. And in this way, you can perfect your life. Now, Prabhupada goes on here to say that while you're doing these things, Krishna knows, because Krishna's in your heart. So, Rasa Chamrita Sannidhi Stone, he's in your heart, he's in everybody's heart, he's in every atom. So, you know, it's easy to put on the clothes, you know, and put on beads and cut your hair and put on tilak. But the internal stuff, like I was talking about the demons in there, the lust, the greed, the envy, the illusion, so many things. Those things are still there. It's not so easy. So we have to take to this. And Prabhupada says, Krishna knows you. He sees what you're doing. He knows what you're doing, and he also knows what you want more. Because I've had this experience where I'm doing my service, and I want to serve Prabhupada, and I want to distribute books, and I want to be on Sangatana. And then the mind and the senses, they immediately say, hey, what about this? And it's if you're not fixed, it's very hard to control yourself. I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror every morning, I still think I'm this body. I mean, I've been saying I'm not my body for 40 years, but I still, you know, I'm still really identifying with my body. It's just an intoxication for us. We have this body. It's not that nice of a thing, but we think it is. There's a thin coating of skin, and, you know. I mean, it's like if somebody gave you a nice car, you know, somebody gives you a brand new Maybach or something, you know. And you're driving around, like, I got a new car, it costs $350,000, you know. But then you notice that the back seat and the front seat and the trunk is all filled with mucus, bile, air, urine, stool, blood. You know what I mean? Who wants to ride in your new car? Hey, I got a new car, check it out. And then you take, wait a second, you take a little closer look, you're like, man, I don't like this car, you know. Man, you're stuck in it. You can't get out. He's not like, no, don't take it back. I don't want the car. It's full stool. You're in it. What to do? We're fortunate. It's the blessed Kali Yuga. And all you got to do really is participate. If you get enthusiastic to do something for Prabhupada, if you don't know what to do, you can always ask. Or you can open any book. Or if you can't read, you can listen to a tape or put on a DVD, stick it on your iPod, wherever you go. Because if you're not hearing spiritual, you will be hearing. And you get effects from spiritual hearing, and you get effects from mundane hearing. So we have to be very careful. Prabhupada says here, when you're doing your service, Krishna knows what you want more. It's kind of like when Prabhupada looks at you, and most devotees I know have had this experience, you're standing there in Kirtan, Prabhupada's there, and next thing you know, he looks right through you. It was like this electrical kind of weird, like nobody else but me and him in the universe when that happened. And I was like, oh my God, he sees me. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, wow. And I was, you know, that was a long time ago. I was still trying to be a brahmachari. But when Prabhupada looks through you, all of a sudden you're like, It's there. Everything's revealed. So then you have choices. You know, you have to make the choice. Some people just turn and run out of fear, and others surrender. And the ones that surrender are going to get the mercy. Everybody gets some mercy because it's Kali Yuga and Lord Chaitanya is saving the entire universe. But we don't want to miss this once in the lifetime of the universe opportunity to get prema by just chanting Hare Krishna. Now there is a fair and there are conditions. The fair is you have to take shelter of the holy name. The conditions are you have to strictly avoid offenses. And if we participate in devotional service, try to be offenseless, be enthusiastic, be confident, be patient, sooner or later, like Prabhupada says here, every time you drink water, you appreciate it. Otherwise, why are you drinking water? So if you drink water and think, this is Krishna, someday you'll be a devotee. Someday you'll be a devotee. So that gives us hope. Again, Krishna's lila is to give us hope. I have hope that if Putana, who's killing and eating babies, can get Krishna's mercy, then maybe we can get Krishna's mercy too. And if Jagai and Mata can get Krishna's mercy, then we also can get Krishna's mercy. And one thing that I like to do is try to help others get the mercy. Like last night, this lady showed up at the feast. She's an acupuncturist. And I took Lottie down there because she was having some asthma. And we left the place after we were there for 2 or 3 hours. And I said, I want to go back in and give her a book. So I went back in with the mantra card invitation and with a higher taste. And I said, Anu, Hare Krishna. And I gave her the book. She came in the feast last night. It's like, amazing. Just see. You know, you give somebody a book. Next thing you know, they're here at Lord Chaitanya's party. And that's a pretty good thing. Anyway, and this can go on in any sphere. I was walking down the street in Orlando, down an I Drive, which happened to be very busy the way it is, and I met these three Korean businessmen. And the first two spoke very good English, and they didn't want anything to do with me, and they kept going. But the third guy had broken English. He was obviously new. So I said, Oni hashimika, Oni hashimo, kam shahmida, kam, you know, just a few words that I know in Korean. And the man was so happy. So I gave him a book, and he gave a donation. And then we had to run because his friends didn't even look back. They just left. They didn't want anything to do with it. So he runs to them. An hour later, I'm distributing books. An hour later, I look across the I Drive, and here's the guy. He's got the book in his hand. He's jumping up and down like a madman. I'm like, you don't see a lot of things, but this is something that I haven't really seen. You know, he's jumping up and down. There's traffic, right? And he's pointing at the book, jumping up and down. And I'm like, what? So he comes across the traffic, and he gets to me, and he turns the book over, and he points to Prabhupada, and he said, I was there. You only eat vegetables. Well, so obviously this guy had, you know, gone to the Sunday feast or something, right? Got shot him. And he was the one of those three businessmen. Those guys were out of there, and he just stopped. So I did what any good book distributor would do. I asked him for another $50 and gave him another book. But that's my service. You know, you don't always get that. You know, Sankirtan is, it's always nectar, and I love it, and I do it. And I do it religiously. That's what my father says. You do this religiously. And he's like, you're not going to get anything for this in this life. You're going to maybe someday. But when I do it, you never know what the jiva is going to say, because he's a subordinate to jiva. He's illusion. He's thinking, I'm this body. The only thing that's like, I stopped this guy yesterday. He was going to Walmart. And the guy, he was sitting in a pickup truck with a peace sign on it. It looked like an old hippie. And I figured, okay, this guy's cool. I walk up to him, and he's sitting there getting drunk. And I said, I gave him a lollipop, and he's putting it in his mouth. He's, yeah, what? And I said, we're doing a benefit. You want to give a donation? He goes, can't you help me? I have 5 grandchildren. One of them is valedictorian. The other 4 are autistic. And he said, they're not little. They're 3, 5, 6, and 7. And he said, we spend $300 a month on diapers. He said, my wife's in there buying the diapers with this crew, you know, of dependent children. He said, can you do anything for me? So I said, sure. And I whipped out a Beyond Birth and Death, and I said, check this out. We all start here. I showed him a baby, and we all end here, dead guy. I said, so we're really just moving through here. It's just a temporary thing. And so to try to, and I told him, I said, you can't fix all the little problems. You have to try to fix the big problem. Prabhupada says, our problems are janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Those are the problems. You know, birth, death, old age, disease. And this body doesn't last very long. Even if you live, some people live to be 90. My grandfather was 99 when he died. But some people die when they're 20. Some people, you know, get hit by a truck when they're 15. So who knows? You know, the body's temporary. And like that verse in Bhagavatam, even though it's temporary, it's useful. The human form can take the spiritual life, whereas in the other forms, all you can do is eat, sleep, mate, defend. That happens to be Bhaktisiddhanta's most quoted verse, you know, that verse. The human form, although temporary, is fine. Anyway, so the temporary thing, it means, you know, it's here today, gone tomorrow. I might meet somebody at Walmart, they might die today, and might not get this chance again. And I go, I meet a lot of old people out there too. Some people are so old that one of them goes in, usually the wife, goes into the store or shop, and she leaves the old senile man sitting in the car. So I go to the guy. Okay, hey man, give him a lollipop. The guy eats the prasad, and he's sitting there. And then I give him Beyond Birth and Death. Apropos, this guy's on the door, you know, so you give it to him. And you always wonder what they're doing. The other day, I came back by 20 minutes later, and the guy's reading the book. You know, I just snuck up to see what he was doing, and he was sitting there looking at it, and then he starts reading it. And it's something amazing when you give somebody Prabhupada's books, because usually, I didn't even see this, in the airport you give them a book, they fly away, you never see them again. You see somebody sitting there reading Prabhupada's book. And anywhere you touch these things, it's Prabhupada said, it's like sugar, sweet, anywhere. So I make it a point to, and I, you know, I look at everybody out there walking around, driving around, doing all the things that people do to try to, I mean, everybody's trying to get something out of their life. And I just come in and I interrupt their whole thing. Sometimes they're walking, sometimes on their phone, sometimes they're talking. I don't care. I just walk around and go, hi. And I give them a lollipop. I go, we give these to everybody a little smile. And most people aren't smiling, but when you say that, they start to smile. And so I go, hey, you know, and then I start my thing. I give them a book, give a donation. And the other day I gave a book to a lady. She was in a big hurry. Here, here's $2. I got to go. I said, take this. And I gave her the book. 15 minutes later, she came back in her car. She had the lollipop in her mouth, the book in her hand. And she drives up and she goes, excuse me, I need to ask you some questions. So she pulls over and I'm like, what could this be? Sometimes born-again Christians come back and they want clarification on what they just got or what they just donated to. And then, you know, so I'm like, oh, whatever. So I go over and she gets out of the car and she goes, I've been looking for this. She was maybe 50. She says, I've been looking for this. I'm out here. This was out in Wikiwachi, out in Brooksville. She said, I'm out here surrounded by Baptists. And I feel so confirmed. And she says, where is this? Where are you? Is there anywhere I can go to do this? And so then I showed her the Gita and some other books. She gave me $25 more and bought the books. And I told her how to get there. It's 125 miles from here. She said, I'll drive 125 miles to get there because I didn't see her last night. But whatever. That's interaction with jivas. When you give them spiritual, you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's really positive. So that's what I go on. And also, I got to say this before time runs out. This is also Bhaktisiddhanta. We all know he says, we are nurturing a desire to dedicate this good-for-nothing body in the sankirtan sacrifice of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and his associates. And he says, everyone with the sole view of worshiping Hari will carry on life in this temporary two-day material existence in any way possible. And then he says, do not become unenthusiastic upon seeing the majority of people are not accepting the message of Krishna's worship. And this is key. Never give up audition and glorification of the topics of Krishna. They are your own personal worship and you're all in all. So we're back again to the Shravanam Kirtanam. If you hear and chant and make that your all in all, then you have a chance to be involved and what Prabhupada called pure devotional service. Because we're not pure devotees, but if you take the order of your guru on your head and you restrain those demons, you can act in pure devotional service. And in the 11th canto, Bhagavatam says, Yanastaya naro rajan apamadita karhichit davan nimyo yavan netre naskalen apote iha. A person, O king, a person who accepts the process of devotional service to the Lord will never blunder on his path in this world, even though running with eyes closed, he will never trip and fall. You ever try to run with your eyes closed? I mean, you run around and bump into a tree. According to Bhagavatam, even while running with eyes closed, you will never trip and fall. And Bhaktisiddhanta says, in all other dhammas other than Bhagavad Dharma, one must consider the conditioned soul's qualification. But a soul surrendered to the Lord is never confounded by error, even if unqualified in all other respects. Which is definitely apropos for me. Unqualified in all other respects. His feet don't stumble, he never falls, even though wandering in the world at whim, he always resides in an auspicious place by the influence of his bhajan. So how important is our sadhana? How important is our hearing and chanting? It can't be stressed enough that if we hear and chant properly, we'll definitely get the desired results, which is to be engaged in Krishna's service nicely. Like I said before, you can engage in all kinds of ways. I personally have experience of that. But I'm here to tell you, if you do it right, it's better. And it's more pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. This is something that I read this. And it's just amazing, because I've heard something like this, but I never read it before. So Bhaktisiddhanta says, as soon as a single person will have conceived the sincere desire of undertaking the promulgation of the tidings of Gaudiya literature to all the peoples of the world, he is thereby enrolled among the agents of divine mercy. Now, I don't know about you, but I would like to be enrolled. I would really like to be enrolled among the agents of divine mercy with the power to forward the fulfillment of this expressed wish of the Lord. The Gaudiya literatures will not remain confined to Bengali language. It will in a very short time expand, display its full brilliancy through the medium of all languages, including those of birds, beasts, and get a load of this, the vegetable tribes. So I read this on it. I left a message. I left this message on Vaisheshika's machine. And the next day, I come home, and there's a message, and it's Vaish saying, "Hello, I'm representing the vegetable tribes of California, and I'm interested in Gaudiya literature." And this is what we do. I mean, I thought we got 7 billion people to give these books to. That's amazing to me. Went out with the birds, beasts, and the vegetable tribes. You know, we had tribes. So we got vegetable tribes. We're going to translate this into broccoli and carrot, you know? Who knows? I mean, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta said it. I believe it. So anyway, so Vaish got inspired. I got to tell you this. Vaisheshika Prabhu. I just call him Vaish because he's my old brahmachari buddy. But he got inspired to distribute full sets of Chaitanya Charitamritas and for Gaur Panim, to celebrate Gaur Panim. So they got 50 sets of CCs, and they stuck them in the middle of the temple room. And if you've ever been there, their temple room is about as big as our lobby, a little bigger. So they piled them in the, because Vaish was going, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Because they do door-to-door, and they do street sangatana, and they do book tables. So they set them in the middle of the room, and every day they meditated on it. And one day, out of Vaish said frustration, he said, put them in the vans, put them in the cars, we're going to do this. And they went out, they distributed 48 full sets of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I thought it was one day, which was completely unbelievable. But I called him back last night to clarify, and he said actually it was 2 weekends. So they distributed 48 sets of CC in 2 weekends, which is 4 days. Vaish and his crew, he's got a crew of about 200 devotees, and a lot of them participate at least once a month, if not once a week, on book distribution. They also introduced this new program, which I thought was really unique, of taking little Gaur-Nitai deities out to distribute with the books. So the first, they had these 2 sets of deities, and they said, we'll distribute them. He quoted Dhananjaya saying, Prabhupada told Dhananjaya that you can give Gaur-Nitai to anybody, even meat eaters, and tell them these are Hare Krishna dolls, they'll fulfill all your desires. So that was the line, these are the Hare Krishna dolls. Of course, they were in a neighborhood of Indians. And this little boy, his name is the Bleep, 6-year-old boy, And Vice jokingly said, you got to distribute these deities today. So his parents were at one door selling books to this family. And the week goes over with Gorney Tai, knocks on the next door. The lady comes out and gives her Gorney Tai. Says, here, gives her Gorney Tai. Says, give a donation. Wow. And the lady bought, give a donation. The lady buys the Gorney Tai deities. And then Vaish comes over and installs Gorney Tai right there on the spot with a set of CCs. I mean, it's Vaish. You know, he's Avadut. Book distribution, Avadut. And so anyway, so now he's ordering 600 sets of Gorney Tai deities. Like, where are you going to get those? He said, well, some are coming from Ekachakra, the wooden ones, and some are coming from China. They have these porcelain Gorney Tai deities that are very nice. And Vaish said, I'm not stopping until everybody in the Bay Area has a set of Gorney Tai deities to go with their set of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But when he called me yesterday, I was still in Sangatana. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I just got kicked out of Walmart. And he goes, that's funny. They just kicked us out of door to door. They said, but before they kicked us out, we distributed 48 sets of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we said, we only had two sets of deities, so we did the two sets of deities. And he said, as they installed them, this lady just broke down in tears. And it was just, it was funny because this is all we've been doing for all these years, is going out and trying to distribute these books in different ways, however we can come up to think of it. The airports were so nice because you just go in the airport and you stand in one place and people come to you from all over the world. And now, because there's no airports, you have to go and you have to find the people. And personally, I find they're all at Walmart. That's where people are. I mean, everybody's at Walmart. John Travolta was at Walmart, down in Walmart, down in Ocala. I mean, everybody goes to Walmart. So, you know, you got to find people. You got to find the jivas and distribute to them. So, and you know, we have devotees that are going to campus, college campuses and distributing books in prasadam. We have devotees on the street. We have Harinam Sankirtan and stuff. But that's our whole thing. Our whole mode is to distribute these Gaudiya literatures to everybody and not consider any kind of, I mean, really, because personally, I have no qualification. I mean, I would have been lucky just to come to a Sunday feast and get prasadam or something. But somehow or other, I got involved and I got, you know, I got the mercy. And now that's what I do. So as far as I'm concerned, if I can improve my service by becoming more gentle, more purified, I know it's hard to believe, but it's true and it's possible, that if we follow this, I mean, really, you have to really, that's why Nityam Bhagavat to say that every day, have to do this. And I notice sometimes, like when I visit relatives or something, and you're not here, and you're not in association, you're out trying to chant your job, and you're trying to avoid all the stuff that goes on, and it's hard, it's really hard. And Dravida made a point when he was here about when you're sick. You know, you get the flu, and you have fever, and you're vomiting, and your body's just, and it's hard to chant or read or do anything. Luckily, you can always push a button and hear Prabhupada. But what I'm saying is that take advantage, take full advantage of our sadhana by trying to hear and chant every single day, and I find it much easier in association. I just stumble in here any day, and there's a schedule, and it goes on, and it's nice. You know, you walk in, Guru Puja, Bhagavatam class, take Charanamrita, take Prasad. Prabhupada says it's a simple process, and it's joyful. You dance, chant, and then you eat palatable dishes offered to God. And pretty much, if you can do that, just try to get through this one life doing that, and that's the success of your life. And somehow or other, I mean, sometimes it seems harder than others. But Krishna's mercy, we just have to believe in the process and take part in it. Put yourself into tut tut karma pravartana. It means do something. You have to. Anyway. In this age of Kali, I become very pleased with those who regularly worship Srimad Bhagavatam in their house and dance without fear. One who daily reads or hears even the half or a quarter verse of Bhagavatam attains the result of giving 1,000 cows in charity. My dear son, as long as Srimad Bhagavatam is present in one's house, for that long his forefathers will consume milk, ghee, honey, and water. And one who gives the gift of Bhagavatam resides in my abode for millions of kalpas. So how fortunate we are. It's the Prem Yuga. It's Kali Yuga. This is the one where Lord Chaitanya gives Prem. And we got Prabhupada. We got in. Prabhupada got us in. Now all we have to do is try to behave ourselves and participate in some kind of service, and we're going to get the result. Sounds easy, doesn't it? It's not easy. But I'm not giving up. I'm going to give you this verse again. Meanwhile, all the coward men headed by Nanda Maharaj returned from Mathura. When they saw on the way the gigantic body of Putana lying dead, they were struck with great wonder. Haribo, thank you very much for listening. Anybody want to add anything, or is there a question?
I just want to comment on the book distribution. You know, I've been working with my business for quite so many years, and when they were talking about book distribution, I figured out, I meet people every single day when I do the art shows, you know. So I think a nice way to do would be to, when they purchase something from me, just give them a book with the purchase. Nice. So I bought a box of the higher taste, you know, figure out it's a nice way to get to them, you know. So every time, you know, I have the experience in the past, like two shows, you know, by the way, you know, this comes with the purchase, and it's a present for you, and I'm hanging this book to the guy. And he says, no, thank you, I'm a vegetarian. It happens twice, you know, two customers. So, well, actually, this is a vegetarian book. So great, you know, amazing. You know, and just last week I did another show, and it was the same thing. You know, the guy said, well, we are all vegetarians. I said, well, this is for vegetarian books. You know, and all people, they're not, but when they look at the book, they say, oh, this is great, you know. I tell them, you know, just eat more green, like eat more vegetables, you know, stay more healthy. You know, eat less chicken, eat more vegetables. So I experienced that it's amazing that there's actually a lot of people out there that they really appreciate the books, you know. So it's a nice experience that I have.
Thank you for that. I also want to say that from Bhaktisiddhanta's parikrama, they were walking along, and there was this old lady, said she lived in a shack, poor old lady. She came out with an offering to give to Bhaktisiddhanta, but he was already. So she tried to give it to the disciples, and they were like, it was one pice and four limes, and they wouldn't accept it. And even though Bhaktisiddhanta he was out of earshot, he turned around and he came all the way back to that old lady, and he accepted personally in his hand four limes and one pice from that lady, and she fell at his feet. And then later, when they were continuing the parikrama, he explained to his disciples, any offering that the jiva is going to give, it's our duty to take that offering, and that's her service. And I see that a lot in Sankirtan. Some people hand me $20. But some people say, I got my debit card, I don't have any money. And I say, no, just give what you can. Vice used to tap on his pocket and say, just give a few pennies. After they had already said, I don't have any money. He go, no, just give a few pennies. And they'd open the wallet and give him $10. So, but it happens to me, I don't have that kind of potency. Purity is the force, and I'm weak on that. But when I say give whatever you can, a lot of people dig into their ashtray, because most Americans have a dollar or two laying in their ashtray and change. And they say, well, you take change. Oh, yeah, all right. And they'll dig out a few pennies. And I think like that. I think one pice and four limes was important enough for Bhaktisiddhanta to come on back and take that to facilitate that jiva's. I mean, we don't see the big picture. You know what I mean? I'm just out there frustrated thinking, come on, you're going to give me dirty ashtray pennies? You got to be kidding me. I just gave you a book that's priceless. Not only the book, just eat the lollipop and you skip the 8 million births, right? I mean, all these species, it's guaranteed human, right? So I'm thinking, come on. But you have to remember these things. That's why you have to hear and chant all the time, because where am I going to get this idea? I'm just a rat. I'm just a selfish sense gratifier. But when I read Bhaktisiddhanta and Prabhupada and hear these things, then I do it. Tripakam, you got something?
Hey, Haribo. Very inspirational. Earlier you read something that Prabhupada said that if one tries to imitate Haridas Thakur, you can actually go mad. Before I joined, I heard there were two guys practicing Krishna consciousness seriously. They were trying to imitate Haridas Thakur. And I heard they went crazy and then they actually killed themselves. So it bothered me, you know, why is this? But when you read that, really, I was really, you know, that kind of convinced me that they were trying to imitate, you know, Haridas, and that's what happened, you know. But anyhow, your class is always inspirational. The last time you gave class, you encourage us to always listen, because we're going to still hear. You know, and from since then, I always keep something and try to listen, you know, so I'd like to thank you for that.
You're welcome. I must be doing something right.
One last point. It ends with a sour note. I felt really bad for those nuns that you bashed like that. You know, I thought it...
You didn't go there, did you?
Yeah.
I was kind to them. You should hear what my brother says about them.
Yeah. I always felt that they were like renunciants. They were, you know...
Well, you were incorrect, Prabhu. I'm sorry. They're Putanas. I don't care anyways. I know these people. I mean, if they were so, if they had any spiritual potency, we wouldn't see all the, you know, I mean, we'd see hopefully some benefit in the world. That's another thing he goes on to say, that if there was some benefit by this, it would be something. And he also says about, you know, altruism and people, you know, building hospitals and stuff. He says, best intentions, but, you know, you can't, just like if somebody says, I'm going to save you, you're drowning, and he takes your coat and saves your coat. That isn't saving you. You're drowning. You saved your coat. So when you go to Catholic Church, they're saving your coat. Trust me. Anyway.
Just one thing. I've noticed that in speaking to a lot of devotees, sometimes when devotees hear a certain statement made by one of the acharyas, it really requires real clarification, because people give connotated meanings to things. And then it becomes like a concept. Like some now, devotees sometimes will think, oh, we shouldn't imitate Haridas Thakur, therefore chanting a lot of rounds or trying to be very involved in japa would be imitation of Haridas Thakur, and I don't want to do that. So those kind of considerations have to really be, I mean, things have to be clear. We should try to chant. Originally, 1 lakh was standard. This is Mahaprabhu's standard, 1 lakh. Srila Prabhupada was so merciful that he said, okay, well, you cannot chant 1 lakh Harinam, most people, so chant 16 rounds. But if you look at the original program, when I joined the temple, from 3:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock, which was kind of lights out, the whole day was full. So chanting 16 rounds, but then you had Harinam, you went to class, you did, so you had something to do all day. Now, if devotees at this stage of life, especially having been devotees, and now we're old, we're not 21 anymore, if you're not in the temple all day and not engaged in service all day, and you say, I chant 16 rounds, then what are you going to do for the rest of the day? See, Srila Prabhupada's program was you were engaged all day. So that filled that space.
That was in that quote when he said about the going mad.
Yes.
The next sentence, he said, therefore neophytes should be encouraged to be engaged in dharma pravartana. You have to work for Krishna. And I've seen a couple of devotees that went to Mayapur and just chanted. I mean, all due respect, I loved them. They were nice devotees. But it didn't work. They were complaining about the mosquitoes. And Prabhupada said, you sit down alone, you think about money and women. Who needs that? We already got that. We're already pramatta. I mean, me, my family, people I know, we're nuts, mad for material life. So I can't imagine the leap that somebody takes from Prabhupada saying, all right, 16. He said, we can't even do that. He said... He gave the example of sitting in the middle of fire in the sun, or sitting up to the neck in the cold river in the winter and chant mantras. He said, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives dance, chant, feast, and immediately said, well, we can't even do that. So if somebody's going to say, well, you know, 16 is nice, but a 64 is, I mean, Bhakti Sananda said, if you don't chant 64 rounds, the Lord won't accept your offerings. There's stuff like that that you can read too. But I don't really care about that. I care about what Prabhupada told me. And he said, chant 16 rounds, follow the regular principles, and he said, try to promulgate the mission. And I see what you're saying. If devotees were busy all day, there's no way they'd have time to chant 64 rounds.
Exactly. So, but then the idea is, if you're not busy all day and you chant 16 rounds and watch television for the rest of it, I don't see how that's going to work for getting...
Oh, I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah. Don't chant your rounds for 2 hours and then watch TV the rest of the day. That's a leap from tat-tat karma pravartana. Whatever. I just know I'm a practical man, and I've seen my own family. My kids are born devotees, and you wouldn't know it.
You know what I mean? It's amazing. I've seen a lot of nice parents, nice devotees, and their kids. You think, God, you're born into this, but you know, kids, they don't like what the parents do. And I dragged one of my sons here last night. He wanted to come, actually. The other one was busy going to the beach. I mean, can't you go to the beach some other day? He goes, look, I got the ride. We got the house on the beach. I'm gone. You know what I mean? So I find it, to me, anybody that's paid any attention over the years to what Prabhupada ever said, I find it very hard to believe that anybody, unless he was particularly vimudha, completely good, would think, oh, I chanted my rounds, now I'm going to, you know, smoke pot the rest of the day. And I mean, I've seen that. I know devotees that are born devotees that drive through McDonald's and get burgers. It amazes me. But I've seen it. And I talk to them. They go, what the heck? And they're like, what are you talking about? I know devotees that were here. I knew them at soccer. I knew them in Gurukul. And when they got to Santa Fe High School at lunch, they were eating meat. Not my sons. But I've seen other and their friends. Sitting over there eating meat. Why? Social pressure. And of course, association and hearing and chanting, you think that was going on? I don't think so. So anybody who's really chanting 16 rounds and following Prabhupada, I don't think he's going to have that gray area. There's no gray area here. You're either doing it or you're not. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do it if you're not a pure soul and you're not strict. Because I know a lot of devotees do a lot of service and they're not chanting their rounds. Some of them aren't even following the four-layer principles. And I'm not saying kick them out or kill them. I'm just saying Prabhupada gave us the formula. He also liked the morning and evening program. Remember that? I remember coming back from Sankirtan. I'd come back from Sankirtan. I mean, you know, I'd get up at 3, chant my rounds, and we'd go to Mangal Arti, do the whole morning program, take prasadam, go on Sankirtan, come back, go to the evening arti, Bhagavad Gita class, and you know what I did after Bhagavad Gita class? I washed the pots. So I washed the pots, and then somebody said, it's 10 o'clock! And then you go to bed. You might have some hot milk. Boom. Next thing you know, they're waking you up for Mangal Arti. I mean, you know, it was those first 7 years for me. It was like flash. But most devotees, especially in their 50s and 60s, aren't living that lifestyle at all. Doesn't matter. They can just, I mean, everybody's got an electronic device. All they got to do is put the right stuff in their phone or whatever their favorite toy is, and that thing will tell you stuff all day long. You can read everything Prabhupada ever said on your iPad. You can even watch Prabhupada videos. I mean, there's no excuse for anybody saying, look, you know, I mean, we all make excuses because we like sense gratification and because we have the kama, the krodha. We got all these things. And if you don't subdue them, you're going to act like that. It's not in your hands. We're little. We're weak. Madam, did you have something? I get going here and I never stop.
I was just going to say when you said 16 rounds, I thought Prabhupada always followed that with at least.
Well, I just saying I'm a practical man. I've been here 40 years. And if I do my 16 rounds, man, I think, wow. I mean, that's Vice Chairman goes, sit in front of those rounds every day. Beg for the shelter of the name.
That's the second part. I've noticed a couple different tricks that can be done with yourself. What happens with me. Sometimes, for one reason or another, I don't get to the first part of the program when I used to get all my rounds done. So then I get my rounds done during the day. I figure out a way that take the priority for that. So then I noticed, well, what would happen if I went to the morning program, got my rounds done, and then the second part, I could do more rounds. So I started noticing there's a lot of different ways. And the most fascinating part is when you come up with that idea, the rebuttal is waiting.
Always.
And that, to me, just like Kartik, you do something extra for Kartik. So then when Kartik's over, how do you go back? You know, it's like, so I thought that these things are like, Krishna's a bit tricky. You know, so this is one of his tricks that he does. He says, oh, just do it for a month. Take an extra. And then how do you ever stop? You know, like, now I'm going to go back and do nothing again. You know, so it's like, I call it the ratchet principle. You just get you clicked up a couple more notches. And one last point was that why not try to chant one round more per year? That doesn't sound like much. So the next year, for a whole year, you could practice, let's say if you did 16. So the next year, let's, for one round, one more round, 17. Okay, and for a whole year you do 17. Why not the next year try one? Okay, it's too much. Every 2 years then. All right, every 2 years.
Prabhupada was so compassionate. He knew who we were. He said, the example, because everybody has, I don't care what anybody says, everybody I know has trouble thinking of Krishna in that sense gratification, okay? So Prabhupada said, how about 4 rounds when you wake up, 4 rounds right before lunch, 4 rounds before dinner, and 4 rounds before bed? That way you get 16 rounds in. Because I know some devotees that, well, I mean, I know devotees that chant japa in front of the TV. I know a devotee went to a movie with me, pulled out his japa bag. We're watching a movie in a theater. Nescience, nonsense, maya. I'm like, dude, are you paying attention to the movie? Are you offending the movie or are you offending the name? Well, you can offend the movie, who cares? But you can't, that's japa rata, that is not japa. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that all the offenses come from inattention, right? So that's called inattention. And the thing that always gets me is they're proud I got my rounds in. They're watching a game show or something, you know? Wow, she won $20,000. What the hell is that? I mean, if that's not offensive to the holy name, because the holy name is Krishna. I know, I don't know that, but I believe that. The name and Krishna, they're the same. And if we take shelter of non-Prabhu and try to avoid offenses, you have to start with inattention. Otherwise, I mean, it's...
Is that better than not to chant at all?
You know, I don't know what to say to that, because I couldn't say don't chant. I would rather have somebody chanting. Oh, we got something here. Clarification. I would rather see somebody chanting in total maya than not chanting, you know. I have to say that. But most of the, I'm talking about devotees are supposed to know better. This isn't like Bhaktis who just joined and doesn't really know. You know what I mean? I mean, these people know. Not, if I'm sitting there smoking a joint, I want somebody to say, hey, Div, what the hell are you doing? You know, Prabhupada says that Arjun, right, on the chariot, he said, I'm doing all this. And he didn't expect Arjun to sit there and smoke marijuana. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you for your very nice class. I just wanted to comment something very shortly. Last Friday, Premananda Gaur had a courtesy tour in where he works. He sells timeshare. So he's been in Westgate Resort and he did a courtesy tour to a couple. And they didn't want to, I mean, the lady didn't want to go, but finally they never spoke about timeshare. They just spoke about Krishna the whole presentation. And 2 days later, they came for the Sunday feast, and they got japa mala, japa bead. Wow. They came for Mangalarti yesterday. They've been the whole festival. I mean, they're totally like in bliss. I mean, they just got Krishna into their lives, and they're so
That's
happy.
That's so nice. Bhaktisiddhanta says, we don't collect money, we collect souls. That's amazing.
That was our offering to
That's
Sati Gaur
so
Prasad.
Nice, and it's so rare. I mean, I've distributed a million books. I wish anybody would have came to got a book from us.
And he wasn't even allowed to come to the festival.
And he did. Stita D. Muni Prabhu. Here we go. All right, Stita D., let's hear it. I'm ready.
Well, I don't know anything about propagating, but, you know, but I mean, concerning the question, you know, on one sense, isn't any chanting better than no chanting, but, you know,
I don't know anything.
If you're not
focusing
on the chanting, you're not going to get or any devotional activity, you're not going to get a focused result.
I just know with me, when I chant my japa, when I'm done, I think now I can read any damn thing I want.
Yeah.
And I start reading. Because when I read, my mind is there. When I chant japa, I'm a million miles away. I mean, it's hard. It's hard for me. But when I'm reading Bhagavatam or CC, that's nectar. It's, you know, it's, and I'm reading. I read out loud in my. I read Narada every night, and we read a lot. You know, I really believe that if the devotee opens the book anywhere and just reads a little, Bhaktisiddhanta says only by building ideal lives and a mansion of books can the message of Bhagavad Bhakti remain permanently in the sphere. So that's what Prabhupada did. He gave us a mansion of books, and he gave us directions how to be ideal. And I mean, you know, taking a guy like me out of the gutter and trying to make him ideal, that's really a miracle. Yes?
Guy.
of Harinam is present, which means Harikata. So all the things you've learned from Srila Prabhupada over 40 years, taking Harinam at that time, all those things are supposed to churn in the heart. That's how the mind remains focused. Other than that, it's not possible. It's just not possible because the fact is, Maya is just too strong. And that's why Raso Vajam, Raso Piyasha, Param Jasvanavartate. At some point, especially now, 50, 60 years old, not 21 anymore. So if this is not giving me happiness and satisfaction, bound to be that I'll have some other kind of life. Bound. So this Harinam, Bhajan, morning prayer, all these things, they have to at some point start to give satisfaction to the heart. Must be.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!